Harihi Om. Sahana Vavatu, Sahana Bhunaktu, Saha Viryam Karavavahai, Tejasvinavahitamastu Ma Vidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jai Sri Chaitanya Charamita Antya Lila Chapter 6 The Meeting of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Raghunath Das Goswami Page 116, 3, 6, 10 through 12. Previously, when Srimati Radharani felt the pangs of separation from Krishna, her constant companion Lalita kept her alive by helping her in many ways. Similarly, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt Radharani's emotions, Sri Damodar Goswami helped him maintain his life. That's the answer. So Prabhupada's just, you know, pleasantly mentioning the things, because depending on what they're bringing out, because the point is, since you have one person basically doing this, then you could be saying that he's taking care of both of these aspects, because Lalita Deva will take care of certain things, and yeah, but here it's saying Lalita would take care of her in so many ways, and the same way than Sri Damodara. So that gives, you know, this is just like okay. I think the Prabhupada, it means this is a bit exaggerated, means the example, but Prabhupada was on, I think, one of these talk shows in America. Someone's asking, you know, talking this and that, and so, you know, as long as you know the color and all that, and, you know, that you're wearing, you know, because this specific color, because, you know, they get into that rather than what's the philosophy, what's the message, why are you doing this and all that. And he says, yeah, it's just you know, a color that we wear. And says, oh, so you could wear anything, you know, you could wear, you know, you could wear blue or something like that. Probably, yes, you know, orange. And then, you know, went on with he's just trying to push these aside to get to some substance. So same way, so you have all these different things, they're not really that important, because from different devotees, then there may be those different angles because of the position that they're in, or the position the devotees are dealing with. And so then, yes, it may come out that way. But at the same time, as then there's, you know, what is said. So in other words, these kind of controversial, seemingly controversial points aren't really that important. They're put to the side. We look at them because we're thinking that the existential aspect is the most important. But the point is if you're discussing it, it's existing, right? To some degree, either in reality or in your mind, but your mind has to be based on something that's been experienced. But all that's coming from Krishna. So that's the main thing, is that existence means Krishna. That's the main thing. But then, okay, everything's Krishna, but does this thing that, what does it matter? It's in Krishna. Whatever it is reminds you of Krishna. But we try to reverse the thing, it becomes important on its own without Krishna. So then that becomes the difficulty. And so then we can, you know, how you say, you know, talks long into the night, you know, on verandas around the world over decades, you know, can go on, but it's not actually so important. Sarup Damodar helped him maintain his life. To describe the fortunate position of Ramananda Rai and Sarup Damodar Goswami is extremely difficult. They were renowned as intimately confidential friends of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Lord thus enjoyed his life with his devotees, or devotees of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now hear how Raghunath Das Goswami met the Lord. Udriti, Adi Lila 10.91 purport. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes in his Anubhasya, Srila Raghunath Das Goswami was most probably born in the year 1416 Shakabda, A.D. 1494. In a Kayastha family, is the son of Govardhan Majumdar, who was the younger brother of the then Zamindar Hiranya Majumdar. The village where he took birth is known as Sri Krishnapura. The forefathers of Srila Raghunath Das Goswami were all Vaishnavas and were very rich, were very rich men. His spiritual master at home was Yadunandan Acharya. Although Raghunath Das was a family man, he had no attachment for his estate and wife. Seeing his tendency to leave home, his father and uncle engaged special bodyguards to watch over him. But nevertheless, he managed to escape their vigilance and went away to Jagannath Puri to meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This incident took place in the year 1439, AD 1517. Raghunath Das Goswami compiled three books, namely Stavamala, or Stavavali, Dhanacharita, and Mukta Charita. He lived a long time, residing for most of his life at Radhakund, the place where Raghunath Das Goswami performed his devotional service still exists by Radhakunda. He almost completely gave up eating and therefore was very skinny and of weak health. His only concern was to chant the holy name of the Lord. He gradually reduced his sleeping until he was almost not sleeping at all. It is said that his eyes were always full of tears. When Srinivasacharya went to see Raghunath Das Goswami, the Goswami blessed him by embracing him. Srinivasacharya requested his blessings for preaching in Bengal, and Srila Raghunath Das Goswami granted them. In the Gauranadashtipika 186, it is stated that Srila Raghunath Das Goswami was formerly the gopi named Rasa Manjari. Sometimes it is said that he is Rati Manjari. So we either have, in these cases, that Rasa and Rati are different, names for the same person, or it can be that they are different gopis. So that's the thing, is that someone's seeing in that way, then there may be something that's connected with their relationship and everything. How that works, that's another thing. Mm-hmm. The point is that that's not important. One of the points is that he's one of the eternal associates of the Lord.
He's also known as Brinda. In Vilakusa Manjali, they call him Brinda.
Yeah.
And they call her Brinda.
Yeah, so that's the thing, is that you don't necessarily know who these are. That's why someone, even if they say their name, you don't even necessarily know who that is.
Yeah.
Because it can be another name. You know? Is that, you know, like that, yeah. Verses 13 to 35. The home life of Raghunath Das, 3613. When Raghunath Das, during his family life, went to meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Shantipur, the Lord gave him worthy instructions by his causeless mercy. Udriti, Madhya Lila 16:228-241. Raghunath Das used to run away from home again and again to go to Jagannath Puri, but his father kept binding him and bringing him back. His father even had five watchmen guard him day and night. Mm-hmm. Four personal servants were employed to look after his comfort, and two Brahmins were employed to cook for him. In this way, 11 people were incessantly keeping Raghunath Das under control. Thus, he could not go to Jagannath Puri, and because of this, he was very unhappy. Like, so, four servants taking care of his personally, two cooking for him, you know, then you had the guards. But the point is he didn't want to be involved in that, right? You know, Prabhupada mentions, I forget what it is. What did he say? Well, I can't remember. How much the family was making a year.
Oh.
It's millions.
Oh, yeah.
Then. You know, so it's like, yeah, it was, they were very well-to-do.
Yeah, because in the pastime of Hari Das Thakur going to Krishnapur and staying at the, when he was invited by Hiranyan Govardhan, they talk about that tax collector, and he was collecting 1.2 million gold coins in taxes.
Mm-hmm.
So they were making much more.
Yes. Yeah, because that's the thing, it was all in gold coins, you know. And I forget what Prabhupada said, how much they weighed or something, but I think they were bigger. I think at one point he mentioned, because nowadays gold coins a lot of times are around 11 grams, But I think he mentioned they may have been a tola. It's 28 grams. You know, because you always see pictures of gold coins this big.
Yeah.
Nowadays, the little things like this are thin, but before they were bigger and like that. Yeah. When Raghunath Das learned that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had arrived in Shantipur, he submitted a request to his father. Raghunath Das asked his father, "Please give me permission to go see the lotus feet of the Lord. If you do not, my life will not remain within this body." Hearing this request, Raghunath Das's father agreed, giving him many servants and materials. The father sent him to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, requesting him to return soon. For 7 days, Raghunath Das associated with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Shantipur. During those days and nights, he had the following thoughts. Raghunath Das thought, "How shall I be able to get free from the hands of the watchman? How shall I be able to go with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Neelachal?" Since Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was omniscient, he could understand Raghunath Das's mind. The Lord therefore instructed him with the following reassuring words: "Be patient and return home. Do not be a crazy fellow. By and by you will be able to cross the ocean of material existence. You should not make yourself a showbottle devotee and become a false renunciate. For the time being, enjoy the material world in a befitting way and do not become attached to it. Within your heart, you should keep yourself very faithful, but externally, you may behave like an ordinary man. Thus, Krishna will soon be pleased and deliver you from the clutches of Maya. You may see me at Neelachal, Jagannath Puri, when I return after visiting Vrindavan. By that time, you could think of some trick to escape. What kind of means you will have to use at that time will be revealed by Krishna. If one has Krishna's mercy, no one can check him." So anyway, Lord Chaitanya is making the point, he's going to Vrindavan. You know, so then it's only after he gets back from Vrindavan. So at that time, once he comes back, then Krishna will reveal to him how to, if he's always absorbed in Krishna, Krishna will show how to make things work.
So that, is it before or after Panihati?
This is before.
Before Panihati.
Yeah.
Because
Panihati will be described in here.
That's coming up.
Yeah.
Because Nityananda Prabhu says you are a thief. So without approaching him, he went directly to meet Mahaprabhu.
Oh, I see. Okay.
That's why you told him you're a thief?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Get into the coins here anyway. 3:6-17. Instead of becoming a so-called renunciate, Raghunath Das, following the instructions of the Lord, returned home and played exactly like a pounds and shillings man. Raghunath Das was inwardly completely renounced, even in family life, but he did not express his renunciation externally. Instead, he acted just like an ordinary businessman. Seeing this, his father and mother were satisfied. When he received a message that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had returned from Mathura city, Raghunath Das endeavored to go to the lotus feet of the Lord. At that time, there was a Muslim official collecting the taxes of Saptagram, Srila Prabhupada. Formerly, when the Muslim government was in power, the person appointed tax collector would collect the taxes of the local zamindars, or landholders. He would keep one-fourth of the collection for himself as a profit, and the balance he would deliver to the treasury of the government. They do okay. 3:6-18-23. When Hiranyadas, Raghunath Das's uncle, made an agreement with the government to collect taxes, the Muslim Chaudhary, or tax collector, having lost his position, became extremely envious of him. Hiranyadas was collecting 2 million coins and therefore should have delivered 1,500,000 of the government. Instead, he was giving only 1,200,000, thus making an extra profit of 300 coins. Seeing this, the Muslim Chaudhary, who was a Turk, became his rival. After sending a confidential account to the government treasury, the Chaudhary brought the minister in charge. The Chaudhary came, wanting to arrest Hiranyadas, but Hiranyadas had left home. Therefore, the Chaudhary arrested Raghunath Das. Every day, the Muslim would chastise Raghunath Das and tell him, "Bring your father and his elder brother, otherwise you will be punished." The Chaudhary wanted to beat him, But as soon as he saw Raghunath's face, his mind changed and he could not beat him. Instead, the Chaudhary was afraid of Raghunath Das because Raghunath Das belonged to the Kayastha community. Although the Chaudhary would chastise him with oral vibrations, he was afraid to beat him. That means, so he was making 800,000 gold coins. You know.
Was the reason why he could not beat him because he had an aura?
Something. He said whenever he see his face, it was just probably he was so nice looking and, you know, so so pure, he just didn't Yeah. Okay. Srila Prabhupada. Raghunath Das belonged to a very aristocratic family of the Kayastha community. He had substantial influence with the local people, and therefore the Chaudhary or minister was afraid to beat him. Superficially, he would chastise Raghunath Das with threatening vibrations, but he did not beat him. The members of the Kayastha community in India are generally very intelligent and expert in business management. Formerly, they were mostly government officers. They were mentioned even by Yajnavalkya, as quoted by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Amrita Pravaha Bhasya. Chata Taskara Durvriter Maha Sa Saha Sikha Dibihi Pidyamana Praja Rakshet Kayasthais Cha Visheshata. From this verse, it appears that the government officials of the Kayastha community would sometimes chastise the citizens, and thus it was the duty of the king to protect the people in general from the atrocities of the Kayasthas. There's a whole thing in who is from Yajnavalkya. Okay, that's Yajnavalkya, because in Manu, then he says it's one of the king's duties is to see that the officers, you know, that are managing the rural areas and all the areas around aren't taking advantage of the people. So he has to have his. So you have the authority that comes down that line, but the king also has to have a check against them, because many times they'll take more than they should, live very well, and so then it mentions that the chastisement for that is to take everything away from them. Because they'll have accumulated and made big, high, big, everything like that. Everything will be taken away and they'll be sent out of the kingdom. Like that. So it's one of the duties of the kings is to see that nothing goes wrong there. So, in Bengal, the Kayastha community is honored almost as much as the Brahmana community. But in the upcountry of India, the Kayasthas are considered Shudras because they generally eat meat and drink wine. In any case, from history, the Kayasthas appear very intelligent. Thus, the Muslim Chaudhary was afraid of Raghunath Das because he belonged to the Kayastha community. So it seemed to be a little bit more political, economic here and all that. But And also the Kayastha basically means that they were somebody from a higher caste, but they're doing this government technical work. So they may be from Brahma and Kshatriya, like this kind of, but they're, so that's why they're very intelligent. But they've applied the intelligence into, you know, government administrative areas, especially, you know, anything to do with money and things like that, because you need really intelligent people to take care of, you know, all the accounts and everything like that. So I think it was Rupa Goswami, then, you know, he was one of the main persons dealing with all the accounts for the kingdom. He's the treasurer and that. No?
Sanatan was the treasurer. No.
Sanatan was the prime minister.
Rupa was the treasurer. That's how he got out.
With the boatload of money.
And literally, nowadays, that's a boatload. This is literal. Our Acharya left with a boatload of money. Yeah, that I'm saying, but it's a saying, you know, meaning a lot. Yeah, it's a whole boatload, you know, like that. So this was literal. It was a boatload of gold coins. So he distributed the family, this, that, and then he left 10,000 there just in case Sanatan Goswami needed it. You know, because one went, that was bad, but, you know, the second one trying to go, then it's like, how does he run his kingdom? Like that. So that's the thing, is that they're engaged in these activities so they'd be very, very intelligent.
But not just intelligent, very influential.
Yes, yes. Yeah, I mean, they have to be able to work in that field. So that's why I said previously that they were in government. Because it's there, it's mentioned in Manu, so there always is that class. So though it be Kayastha, they're kind of taken, you know, in a certain group at the same time as what's the actual background, that you don't necessarily know.
They exist still?
Yeah, yeah. Srila Prabhupada's from that community.
Oh.
The Suvarnabhanics, they're a Kayastha community.
Oh, okay.
So basically they could work it, they could work with money.
Not the Maharajas.
No, they're just business. These are they can work because they also have to have the intelligence how to write things, how to state things, who to talk to, what to who, you know, so they're very expert. That's another thing. They can write official letters that get work done. They know how to write those things. You know, it's like you have the I don't know if it's, you know, I'm sure all the countries have, but in America you have, you know, the president gives a speech, but someone wrote that.
Yeah, of course.
You know, and it's some guy that no one's ever heard of. So that's a Kayastha.
Except Trump used to write his own speech.
Yeah, and people would comment.
That's
on
how it
that.
Sounds.
Yeah, and people would comment on it. Yeah, that's the point.
He might have been more wise.
Yeah, he was the Marwari. Yeah. What happens if a Marwari becomes president? Well, I mean, it's, you know, it's a, I mean, it's, how you say, what is it? Six or half dozen.
Yeah.
You know, it means one of the same thing. So, Trump, Agarwal, you know, I mean, say what you want, you know. So the like that. So they're respected in Bengal because then they don't so much worry about these things because they eat fish and stuff. But up in up country, it mentions then they'll consider them a lower grade because of the habits, but the intelligence, their ability, and everything like that. But here you see, as they're Vaishnavas, then you don't have that problem. But they'll be Kayasthas or not Vaishnavas, and so they'll be more.
Maharaj?
Yes.
Another place it's mentioned that if any Bengali Brahmin, he used to go to Vrindavan through Bihar and all, they used to catch them and employ the government service. So like that, they, some of them became Kayasthas.
Okay, yeah. It just means that you have a. Somehow or another, they get into that. So how it is, and then because that's what they're doing, then, you know, the generations will come down, you know, like that. That's interesting.
I think Jagadaran Pandit first time it's mentioned.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, because they know they're smart, so. Three, six, 24 to 35. While this was going on, Raghunath Das thought of a tricky method of escape. Thus he humbly submitted his plea at the feet of the Muslim Chaudhary. My dear sir, my father and his elder brother are your brothers. All brothers always fight about something. Sometimes brothers fight amongst themselves, and sometimes they have very friendly dealings. There's no certainty when such changes will take place. Thus, I am sure that although today you are fighting, tomorrow you three brothers will be sitting together in peace. Just as I am my father's son, so I am also yours. I am your dependent, and you are my maintainer. For a maintainer to punish the person he maintains is not good. You are expert in all the scriptures. Indeed, you are a living saint. When the Muslim heard Raghunath Das's appealing voice, his heart softened. He began to cry, and tears glided down his beard. The Muslim Chaudhary told Raghunath Das, "You are my son from this day on. Today, by some means, I shall have you released." After informing the minister, the Chaudhary released Raghunath Das and then began to speak to him with great affection. "Your father's elder brother is less intelligent," he said. "He enjoys 800,000 coins, but since I am also a shareholder, he should give some portion of it to me. Now you go arrange a meeting between me and your uncle. Let him do."
I'll let you go, but I'm going to cut
that. Yeah, let him do it. Because now if it is family, okay, let's talk. You know,
That's not the Jewish community, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the Jewish community.
Yeah, well, you see, it did come from Raghunath Das's side. You know, Lord Chaitanya also the same thing. He spoke with the Kasi.
Yeah.
You know, because there's that kind of value, so therefore it has some meaning. there is a family values, there are these things, so these things work in that community. So I'm not sure if it would work on millennials, but, you know.
Prabhupada mentioned that in the conversation between the Kazi and Sanatana Goswami, where the Kazi called Sanatana Goswami my brother, he says, why would you do this to your brother? When I read the first time, what did you do to Rupa Goswami? Prabhupada explained, when you live in the same village, even if you are under the ruling of the Muslim ruling, it's considered family. Like, you know, Lord Chaitanya called Kshankazi my uncle.
Right.
So they were considered family members.
Okay, because they're ruling.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the person is supposed to take care, it's just like sure. The king, the citizens are like the children.
Yeah, so you call Sanatana and you say, you're my brother. Why would you want to do this to your brother? Why do you want to run away?
Let him do whatever he thinks best. That shall completely depend on his decision. Raghunath Das arranged a meeting between his uncle and the Chaudhary. The matter was settled and everything was peaceful. In this way, Raghunath Das passed 1 year exactly like a first-class business manager. But the next year, he again decided to leave home. So the Chaudhary is not the one who was collecting the taxes. Oh, he's the minister. Okay, so the
Chaudhary lost his position.
That's the same Chaudhary?
Yeah. And he blames the minister.
After. Okay. So worked that all out. So clever. Huh? Verses 36 to 41. Raghunath Das's attempts to leave home. 36 to 41. He got up alone one night and left, but his father caught him in a distant place and brought him back. This became almost a daily affair. Raghunath would run away from home, and his father would again bring him back. Then Raghunath Das's mother spoke to his father as follows. Our son has become mad, she said. Just keep him by binding him with ropes. His father, being very unhappy, replied to her as follows. Raghunath Das, our son, has opulences like Indra, the heavenly king, and his wife is as beautiful as an angel. Yet all this could not tie down his mind. How then could we keep this boy home by binding him with ropes? It is not possible even for one's father to nullify the reactions of one's past activities. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has fully bestowed his mercy on him. Who can keep home such a madman of Chaitanya Chandra? Verses 42 to 100. The Chiradoya Mahotsava, 36, 42 to 63. Then Raghunath Das considered something in his mind, and the next day he went to Nityananda Gosai. In the village of Panihati, Raghunath Das attained an interview with Nityananda Prabhu, who was accompanied by many kirtan performers, servants, and others. Sitting on a rock under a tree on the bank of the Ganges, Lord Nityananda seemed as effulgent as hundreds of thousands of rising suns. Many devotees sat on the ground surrounding him. Seeing the influence of Nityananda Prabhu, Raghunath Das was astonished. Raghunath Das offered his obeisances by falling prostrate at a distant place. And the servant of Nityananda Prabhu pointed out, there is Raghunath Das offering you obeisances. Hearing this, Lord Nityananda Prabhu said, you are a thief. Now you have come to see me. Come here. Today I shall punish you. The Lord called him, but Raghunath Das did not go near the Lord. Then the Lord forcibly caught him and placed his lotus feet upon Raghunath Das's head. Lord Nityananda was by nature very merciful and funny. Being merciful, he spoke to Raghunath Das as follows. You are just like a thief, for instead of coming near, you stay away at a distant place. Now that I have captured you, I shall punish you. Make a festival and feed all my associates yogurt and chipped rice. Hearing this, Raghunath Das was greatly pleased. Raghunath Das immediately sent his own men to the village to purchase all kinds of eatables and bring them back. Raghunath Das brought chipped rice, yogurt, milk, sweets, sweetmeats, sugar, bananas, and other eatables, and placed them all around. As soon as they heard that a festival was going to be held, all kinds of Brahmins and other gentlemen began to arrive. Thus, there were innumerable people. Seeing the crowd increasing, Raghunath Das arranged to get more eatables from other villages. He also brought 200 to 400 large round earthen pots. He also obtained 5 or 7 especially large earthen pots, and in these pots, a Brahmin began soaking chipped rice for the satisfaction of Lord Nityananda. In one place, chipped rice was soaked in hot milk in each of the large pots. Then half the rice was mixed with yogurt, sugar, and bananas. The other half was mixed with condensed milk and a special type of banana known as champakala. Champakala. Don't you in South you have chimichampa? Oh, that's here. You have one banana there. It's small. It's yellow, but it's kind of like got rainbow colors in it.
Yes, but I don't know.
You don't know? Okay. Besides, very sweet. Nice banana. It's not astringent like some bananas are quite astringent. This one's not.
Here they have this, not all year, at some point before monsoon, they got this small yellow banana.
Yeah.
And so many black seeds inside. You don't eat that stuff.
Well, this one doesn't have like that. What, but this is a little small. It just goes around. But they like they're crunchy. You know, it's like eating watermelon and eating the seeds. You know, you get some crunch. But they're good for you. Like here you have one, we would always grow them. Biji kola means seed bananas.
Yeah.
Means the banana, that's got many small seeds. Yeah. You know, like portal seeds?
Yeah.
Like this.
Yeah.
This is just full.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's like black. Peeling banana. Black. No, the banana is a nice yellow.
Yeah.
If open inside, it's also white.
Yes.
But it would be like if you took, you know, let's say, you know, 200 portal seeds. You know, without the portal. And just pack them together in the same shape. And once you have it in the mold, pour in a little banana so that it covers it and coats it and just enough to hold it together. Then you put the peel on. That's a biji kola. But if you've eaten them since you're small, you really like them. It's one of those things, whatever you eat when you're a kid, you like. Yeah, yeah. But the amazing thing is they're fabulous for the stomach. If you have any diarrhea, any weird thing with your stomach, you eat those, it will cure anything.
Really?
Yeah.
The seeds?
Hmm?
Seeds. You eat the seeds.
That's all there is. You know? It's seeds held together by a, like a slight...
Like a glue of banana.
Like a glue banana, yeah. But generally, those bananas are... you get the flower... They have the best because the bananas are big, so the kandis are very big. So then if you get the flower, it's because most of the time you get banana flower, they get it after they get the bananas, and there's a small flower at the end, and they cut that off. But then that flower has gone pukka, and then inside each flower there's a little stem that you have to pull out. Most people don't know that. But you have to take that, pull those out, then you boil it, you know, like that. Then you throw that water, then you cook it. But the other one is called garba mocha. So it still has the little baby bananas in it. So there's no seeds or anything. So a little like this big, you know, a little small like that, and cut that up, and that makes a really nice mocha. Really, really, really good. And then the tor of that, because after they've given the bananas, they're going to cut down the tree, the heart is too hard. But for that, when you cut it before, it's still very soft. And it's a huge tree. Like, the trunk would be as big as this. You know, they're huge. They're like this big. So you get a tor like that. You know, like that. And long. You know, you would get from, like, the wall to here, maybe, like that. And so between that and the mocha, you really
what
do.
What do you do with it? With the trunk?
Cook.
You cook them. You make dry sabjis in that. You can also make a mocha ganta. It's mentioned in here, you know.
I think because sometimes we get in Radha Madhava's Raj Bhogamrit, they still cook it.
Yeah.
And I couldn't figure it out.
You see, it looks like miniature bananas cut up real small and like that. Or tor, it looks like it's very kind of fine. It would be a less crunchy and watery bamboo shoot. That's what the tor is like.
Yeah.
You know, but you cook it and all that.
So what sort of bananas did Raghunath Das use for his chiratari?
These are means nowadays they're called chimichampa, but here then he mentioned them as champakala. The champa kala chini chakis, they're very sweet, so they're called sweet. So they're small like this.
Oh, they're small.
They're really small. They're like that big, one banana. Super thin skin.
Yeah.
They're kind of like a skin, like an amartaman banana.
Yeah.
They're real small, and so they're really nice. Yeah, you can get them. You generally get them in a bunch. They'll come in a whole thing. You have the thing, and there'll be, you know, so many, like one or two lines like that.
Yeah, yeah.
You buy them like that, because otherwise they're so small, what are you going to do with them? You know, it's like you buy two of them, you know, one in each nose, like a couple of ears, you know, like that. You know, it's like, there's not much there. But they're considered just, you know, for a, in that way, they're considered a very nice banana. Like that. So those are considered very nice, and the martamon are also. If you get a martamon that's ripe, they're really, really good. When they're not ripe, they're not so great. You had?
No.
No. It's rare to get them ripe. They're the one that are big like this with the super thin skin and yellow. They'll be kind of short and fat, really fat like that. No.
I mean, Radhacharan, he's laughing. It doesn't really mean much. But we posted a picture of the USSR base of the wedding, when everybody looks like a, you know, like a poker face.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I tell you why. Now I understand. We never had bananas in USSR. The only banana, because they don't grow in Russia.
Right.
The only bananas we got, it was from Cuba.
Okay.
And it's like this size.
Communist.
Yeah, communist. The only, and then to get those bananas, we had to stay, you know, in a line for 3 hours, and they wouldn't give you many, just, you know, a certain amount. And then they were green like a stick. And then you had to put it, you know, hide it away, and then it slowly. And then you get the smell of the banana, but the banana gets somebody else. So that's why people look on the picture the way they look, because, you know.
Because you didn't get the banana.
Yeah, you didn't get the banana, you didn't get the mango, you didn't get nothing. No avocado.
No oranges.
Yeah. I remember the first time when the devotees came to India, after when it opened.
Oh, yeah.
They came to Calcutta, and they were on their way to Mayapur. I think the cana came in the afternoon, so then they got the, in Calcutta, the 4 o'clock plate would just be fruit, you know, huge plate of just fruit piled up, depending on who makes it. Used to be Shankarshan Prabhu, you know, who lived across in Godron Creek, his wife, Sachidevi, she'd make. Others would do, you know, little fine little things. She would just cut big things and make this huge pile like that. So I think they got that. And they were eating the first time fruit. And also, you know, the Calcutta stuff, you can get nice fruit and everything like that. And they were actually crying like that. They were eating fruit.
Yeah.
Besides apples. Yeah, from Kazakhstan, huh?
No, from Kazakhstan we never got.
Really?
We got local apples, the sour apples, and I was like in the bliss. I was thinking, yeah, if it's juicy, and it's like, but the taste was
very sour.
He didn't have enough sugar. He didn't have enough sun to get that sugar.
Yeah.
But then slowly, when we went, wow, this is like.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, generally those would be called cooking apples.
Yeah.
You would take those and make a pie, so you put the sugar in them.
Yeah,
because
but
the nice thing about them, they would keep the shape.
Yeah.
Other ones just go into mush, but those will keep some shape. So
what we did as kids, we hid it before we ate it. And then it became a little. There's a lot of iron in the apple. We didn't break the skin, we just hid it.
Okay.
And then it became dark and very juicy.
Okay.
And then as an aftertaste, you get some taste of sugar because somehow it fermented or something. Yeah, fermentation.
Okay.
So that was.
Wow.
Yeah, that was dessert.
So you imagine moving to Israel.
Yeah, from that moving to Israel. And then moving to India. And then you describe, you know, so many different kinds of bananas, but we have only Cuba banana. And as an idea, it wasn't like a real thing.
Okay.
It was a concept.
A concept.
It was a concept.
A nice concept.
I never tried it.
Really? You never saw? Wow.
Yes.
So far out. Huh?
So don't laugh at Russians.
Okay. So, okay. Yeah, one place chipped rice was soaked in hot milk in each of the large pots. So you put your chira after you wash it, then you just cover it. How much chira is there? You cover it with hot milk. So you put the hot milk, it'll soak right in and it'll kind of come like almost like a cake.
Yeah.
Like that. Then you could divide it and that. Either they do a pot, this pot for that, but if not, you can take it, you know, cut it and then take out that half of it. And it'll stay just like a cut the other half. So then you can do it. So that was mixed with yogurt, sugar, and bananas. The other half was mixed with condensed milk and a special type of banana known as champakola. Okay, so they both had bananas. Oh, okay. Then sugar, clarified butter, and camphor were added.
So sugar, ghee, and camphor.
Yeah.
Yeah, to the condensed milk one with the champakola. I like it. You want to make the clarified butter warm.
Yeah.
You know, so it'll mix in nicely. Okay.
When the China Rita goes around and you get that big lump of ghee floating, you say, what am I going to do with this?
You just hand it to your... You know, okay, thank you. Yeah, what is it? Because it's milk, yogurt, ghee, right? Then honey. The trick is to get from the honey.
Like the boys?
Yeah, you get the honey and that. Because well, they're collecting, so much is coming, then they separate it off. There's a whole science of them. They're alchemists, you know, like that. Then the best is you get the honey and the fruit juices. And that you put together.
Yeah, then you mix it.
Yeah, like that.
Well, that
you got
the one who mixed it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah. He was one of the ones under the table.
It's actually intoxicating.
Yeah.
Because it's so sweet. And
yeah. Like, Udi was the best.
He was the first one that he had it down.
Yeah, yeah. And it came down in the parampara. Yeah. Like that. After Nityananda Prabhu had changed his cloth for a new one and sat on a raised platform, the Brahmin brought before him seven huge pots. On that platform, all the most important associates of Sri Nityananda Prabhu, as well as other important men, sat down in the circle around the Lord. Among them were Ramadasa, Sundarananda, Garadhar Das, Murari, Kamalakara, Sadashiva, Purandara, Dananjaya, Jagadisha, Parameshwara Das, Mahesha, Gauri Das, and Hoda Krishna Das were also there. Similarly, Udharana Dutta Thakur and many other personal associates of the Lord sat on the raised platform with Nityananda Prabhu. No one could count them all. Srila Prabhupada. The devotees mentioned herein are described as Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in his Anuvasya. For further information, one may consult the following references in the Adi Lila. Ramadasa, chapter 10, text 116 to 118. Ramadas Abhirama was fully absorbed in the mellow of friendship. He made a flute of a bamboo stick with 16 knots. By the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, three devotees... 16 knots. That means it's a very big flute. Because you have the bamboo means the sections, so if it has 16 knots, then it's very big. So you know, one, you have to clear that out and all that, and also to play those, you know, farther down, you play with your fingers like this.
Yeah,
you know.
Is it the same mini ketan and Ramadasa? Yeah. Okay.
Mini ketan and Ramadasa are the same. I think that's.
Abhiram
Ramdas
and
Niketan Ramdas.
That's yeah.
Yeah.
Sure?
Yes, it's coming up.
Coming attractions.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned. By the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, three devotees accompanied Lord Nityananda Prabhu when he returned to Bengal to preach. These three were Ramadasa, Madhava Ghosha, and Vasudev Ghosh. Govinda Ghosh, however, remained with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Jagannath Puri and thus felt great satisfaction. In Chapter 11, Text 13 to 16, from the purport of Text 13, Sri Ramadas, later known as Abhirama Thakur, was one of the... Oh, I see. So Ramadas, later known as Abhiram Thakur, was one of the 12 Gopalas, or cowherd boyfriends of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. The Gauranga Deepika 126 states that Sri Ramadasa was formerly Sri Dhamma. In the Bhakti Ratnakara, fourth wave, there's a description of Srila Abhiram Thakur. By the order of Srila Nityananda Prabhu, Abhiram Thakur became a great acharya and preacher of the Chaitanya cult of devotional service. He was a very influential personality, and non-devotees were very much afraid of him. Empowered by Sri Nityananda Prabhu, he was always in ecstasy and was extremely kind to all fallen souls. It is said that if he offered obeisances to any stone other than a Shalivam Shila, it would immediately fracture. Sundarananda, 1123, translation. Sundarananda, another branch of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. This 1123 means... Is it continuing the chapter text? Chapter... Well, that's 10. Oh, means must be the next one. 1123.
Adilila. Adilila. Yeah. Adilila.
Sundarananda, another branch of Sri Nityananda Prabhu, was Lord Nityananda's most intimate servant. Lord Nityananda Prabhu perceived the life of Vrajabhumi in his company. Purport. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes in his Anubhasya, in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Antikanda, Chapter 5, it is stated that Sundarananda was an ocean of love of Godhead and the chief associate of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. In the Gauranga Deepika 127, he is stated to have been Sudama in Krishna Lila. Thus he was one of the 12 cowherd boys who came down with Balaram when he descended as Sri Nityananda Prabhu. Garadhara Das, 1053, from the purport. He is stated to be the luster of the body of Srimati Radharani, just as Srila Garadhar Pandit Goswami is an incarnation of Srimati Radharani herself. In the Gauranga Deepika 154, he is described to be an expansion of the potency of Srimati Radharani. He counts among the associates of both Srila Gaurhari and Nityananda Prabhu. When Srila Garadhar Das Prabhu was preaching the cult of Hari Kirtan, there was a magistrate who was very much against his Sankirtan movement. Following the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srila Garadhar Das one night went to the house of the Qazi and requested him to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. The Qazi replied, "All right, I shall chant Hare Krishna tomorrow." On hearing this, Srila Garadhar Das Prabhu began to dance and he said, "Why tomorrow? You have already chanted the Hare Krishna Mantra, so simply continue." In the Gauranga Deepika, verses 154 to 55, it is said, Srila Garadhar Das is considered to be a united form of Chandrakanti, who is the effulgence of Srimati Radharani, and Purnananda, who is the foremost of Lord Balaram's very dear girlfriends. Thus, Srila Garadhar Das Prabhu was one of the associates of both Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu. Because you have the gopis with Balaram, then they were friends with Krishna, so they would take part in Krishna's pastimes in a friendship capacity. So they might be making arrangements or doing different things, but they would have a conjugal relationship with Balaram. Right? At the same time as Krishna's gopis, then they would have a friendship rasa with Balaram. Thus, Srila Garadhar Das Prabhu was one of the... Oh, okay. Srila Garadhar... Then, 11.13 through 15 and 11.17. Srila Garadhar Das was always fully absorbed in ecstasy as a gopi. In his house, Lord Nityananda enacted the drama Dana Kali. Murari. The Murari mentioned herein is different from Murari Gupta. His full name is Murari Chaitanya Das, and he is a personal associate of Nityananda Prabhu. Thus, one should consult Chapter 11, Text 20. There were many extraordinary activities performed by Murari, a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. sometimes in his ecstasy he would slap the cheek of a tiger, and sometimes he would play with a venomous snake. Right? Because he would just see them as you know, parts and parcels of Krishna, so he wouldn't be, he'd just be seeing them as his soul, so they would, you know, respond. So, you know, it's not an anger, it's just like you have some friends and you're strong, you might slap each other, you know, like that in the home, yeah. Kamalakara, 1124. Kamalakara Pipalai is said to have been the third Gopala, Mahabala. His behavior and love of Godhead were uncommon, and thus he is celebrated all over the world. Sadashiva, 1138. The 23rd and 24th prominent devotees of Nityananda Prabhu were Sadashiva Kaviraj and his son, Purushottama Das, who was the 10th Gopala of Dhamma. Purandara, 1128, from the purport. Pandit Purandara met Sri Nityananda Prabhu at Kadadaha. When Nityananda Prabhu visited this village, he danced very uncommonly, and his dancing captivated Purandara Pandit. The Pandit was in the top of a tree, and upon seeing the dancing of Nityananda Prabhu, he jumped down on the ground and proclaimed himself to be Angada, one of the devotees in the camp of Hanuman during the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra. Yeah, he's top of the tree. One, how is he up in the top of the tree? And then he just jumps down onto the ground, and then, you know, he's fine.
Nobody has doubt.
Yes, nobody has doubt. He said, yeah, we'll buy it, we'll buy it. Dhananjaya, 1131, from the purport. He was one of the 12 Gopalas. His former name, according to the Gorgana Deshtipika, 127, was Vasudama. Jagadish, 1130, from the purport. Lord Chaitanya asked Jagadish to go to Jagannath Puri to preach the Harinam Sankirtan movement. After returning from Jagannath Puri on the order of Lord Jagannath, he established deities of Jagannath in the village of Yashadagrama in the district of Nadia near the Chakdaha railway station. It is said that when Jagadish Pandit brought the deity of Jagannath to Yashadagrama, he tied the heavy deity to a stick and thus brought him to the village. The priests of the temple still show this stick used by Jagadish Prabhu to carry the Jagannath deity. You've seen?
No?
No? You've seen? Yeah, in Chakda there's that. He's that style of Jagannath where he has the lotus eyes instead of the round, like that. And so a little bit the mouth, and he had the nose. This is a little bit different, but basically the same, you know, just like that. But he's quite big, yeah, like that. And there's a big stick, you know. So must have been pretty strong. It's still 500 years. It's still there. Parameshwara, 1129. Translation. Parameshwara Das, said to be the fifth Gopala of Krishna Lila, completely surrendered to the lotus feet of Nityananda. Anyone who remembers his name, Parameshwara Das, will get love of Krishna very easily. Purport. Formerly he was Arjuna, the friend of Krishna and Balaram. This means Arjuna in Vrindavan, not the Arjuna in Dwarka Lila. You know, in Hastinapura.
Yes, the Gopala.
Yeah. Yeah, because he's one of the major, in the different categories, he's mentioned as you know, one of the leading in that. A friend of Krishna Balaram, he was the fifth among the 12 Gopalas. He accompanied Srimati Janavadevi when she performed the festival at Ketari. It is stated in the Bhakti Ratnakara that by the order of Srimati Janava Mata, he installed Radha Gopinath in the temple at Atapura in the district of Hooghly. So it's interesting here, when she performed the festival at Ketari. So it's understood that it was her festival, but at the same time as she wasn't the one doing all the activities. You know, that means installing the deities and all that. That was Narottam, Srinivas, and Shamananda. Yeah, they were doing all these things, especially Narottam was leading all the things. He did the music, but then she would discuss with all the leading devotees, you know, because you had to. Because with time, people are coming up with different ideas, you know, like that, and so.
Yeah, we've heard that festival was specifically made to unite all the Gaudiyas. It was then after Mahaprabhu left and then Nityananda left, then, you know, immediately some groups were
So to bring together the Siddhanta.
Yeah.
So that's the specialty of the founder chart, because you see is that with others, then you see very quickly in the line it can dissipate. But when you have the founder chart, then you see that doesn't happen. Like what's happening in detail, like let's say before Ramanuja, you don't know much. You hear a story here, a story there. But you see from Ramanuja, then that whole kind of continuity, then that same with Madhva, Nimbarka, Vishnuswam, like that, then that's the whole point. So when you have the founder acharya, then you see it can hold together much better. But it's still, there will be these aspects, and you always have to then be very careful to see that they're. It probably says in that purport, I think it's in when Maharaj Malaya Dwaj went, and Queen Bidarbi, and then he's mentioned that purport about this. That you know, then you have to, those who are, you know, serious, then they'll keep everything nice, otherwise then you can get distracted. So then she is establishing. Yeah. So that just means in the culture, it means she may be the senior person there, but at the same time, that doesn't mean that she's involved in the public way. So
yeah, she just holds that position. That doesn't mean she does everything.
Yeah, but nowadays, unless you're right there in the front, then you're not leading. So that's not it's you know, just it doesn't have the refinement of the, you know, the culture.
I mean, the description of the Khichdi festival is one thing, but how they actually put it together is just out of this world. Because it's not just the festival itself. They build the roads, they plant trees, they build guest houses. I mean, they completely built an entire town just for that festival, because they were expecting thousands of devotees to turn up.
Mm-hmm. Who did?
Yeah, they actually came.
Yeah.
3 months of invitations.
Invitation, yeah, and then you can't just, you know, put a group, you know, chat thing and send it out. You know, you had to send people to each village.
Nothing on Facebook.
Yeah, nothing on Facebook. Sorry. Yeah. Mahesha. 11:32. Mahesha Pandit. That's it. We finish with Jagadish. Yeah.
I
first landed
to hear.
Mahesh Pandit, the seventh of the 12 Gopals, was very liberal. In great love of Krishna, he danced to the beating of a kettle drum like a madman. Goridas, 11:26, translation. Goridas Pandit, the emblem of the most elevated devotional service and love of Godhead, had the greatest potency to receive and deliver such love. Purport. It is stated in the Gauranga Deepika 1:28 that formerly he was Subala, one of the cowherd boyfriends of Krishna and Balaram in Vrindavan. Hoda Krishnadas, 11:47. The 36th devotee of Lord Nityananda was Hoda Krishnadas, whose life and soul was Nityananda Prabhu. He was always dedicated to the lotus feet of Nityananda, and he knew no one else but him. Udarana Datta Thakur, 11:41. Udarana Datta Thakur, the 11th among the 12 cowherd boys, Subahu, was an exalted devotee of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. He worshipped the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda in all respects.
Apparently, his strong side was to preach to the bankers, the people who were dealing with lots of money and engaged in high amounts of people.
Who's that? Udana Datta Thakur?
Yeah. And,
well, someone's got to do it.
And, I don't know where this is coming from, but some say that that's where Prabhupada's line is coming from. That's where Prabhupada's
line. He's the family.
Might be,
but you know that doesn't mean anything in regard of rasa and this and that.
Of course. Yeah. No, I'm not going.
Yeah, don't go there.
No. But they did some research, descendants, and then onto the Mulik.
Yeah, could be. Yeah. Like that, you know. So it's it's there. You know, that's what I mean. That carries the community very strong. If they're good devotees, then.
Yeah.
Point is it, by the proper association, proper understanding, then anybody can take up the process. So that's that. That's it. 364-100. Hearing about the festival, all kinds of learned scholars, Brahmins, and priests went there. Lord Nityananda Prabhu honored them and made them sit on the raised platform with him. Everyone was offered two earthen pots. In one was put chipped rice with condensed milk, and in the other chipped rice with yogurt. All the other people sat in groups around the platform. No one could count how many people were there. Each and every one of them was supplied two earthen pots. One of chipped rice soaked in yogurt, and the other chipped rice soaked in condensed milk. That means after both of them were soaked in milk to make them soft. Then you mixed yogurt and made it, and then the other one you mixed condensed milk. So you're taking all of it and first soaking it in milk. Mm-hmm. It means just how much, you wash the chira, drain it, then how much chira is there, you pour milk until it just touches the top. And then you leave it because it's hot milk. You put like boiling milk in there and you leave it, and not so long of a time, then it'll be ready. It'll soak up, completely be solid. Then you take half of that, mix it with the yogurt, the sugar, and the bananas, and the other half, the kheer, bananas, ghee, and camphor. Yeah. Maybe just a touch of camphor, not too much camphor. Some of the Brahmins, and when it says soaked, you know, like that, because after you mix it, you want to let it sit a bit also, so it'll soak a little more and get, you know, so you can deal with it. Because you should be able to pick it up. It shouldn't be that you pick it up, you know, need a straw or something. You know. Some of the Brahmins, not having gotten a place on the platform, went to the bank of the Ganges with their two earthen pots and soaked their chipped rice there. Others who could not get a place, even on the bank of the Ganges, got down into the water and began eating their two kinds of chipped rice. Thus, some sat on the platform, some at the base of the platform, some on the bank of the Ganges, and they were all supplied two pots, each by the 20 men who distributed the food. At that time, Raghava Pandit arrived there. Seeing the situation, he began to laugh in great surprise. He brought many kinds of food cooked in ghee and offered to the Lord. This prasadam he first placed before Lord Nityananda and then distributed among the devotees. Raghava Pandit said to Lord Nityananda, "For you, sir, I have already offered food to the deity, but you are engaged in a festival here, and so the food is lying there untouched." You've been to there?
No.
Because there's the bank of the river, there's the tree, there's the platform there, and then just above that, because this is on the slope down from the road, then there's a road, I guess it goes along the Ganges, and then from there there's a road that goes in, and a very short distance down is Raghava Pandit's house. So it must have been that, you know, Raghava Pandit's arranged it, he was just sitting there, and then because Raghunath Das came and they arranged the festival, and then Raghava Pandit comes and then sees, you already have a festival.
You got that place on the corner.
Hmm?
You have to go to the end and then take it up.
Okay.
That corner is got for his car.
That, oh, okay. But, and Raghava Pandit's house?
No, that is little. You take a turn and go a little bit in.
Okay.
We go to the
car
on the
back. Oh, you mean just where that one road is and the one going in, right there? Oh, wow. That means right next to the other side of the road is where that festival will happen. Oh, that's cool.
Big, nice.
Okay.
Is it near here?
It's near Calcutta.
Oh.
If you go GT Road? No. If you go out Central Avenue,
yeah,
and you go all the way up to where you hit Sham Bazaar, you know, the Gaudiya Mats up there and all the 5-point crossing.
Mm-hmm.
Then you keep going and you go along and a couple of blocks and you kind of go over a little bridge, not a very big bridge. Then you hit this kind of big road. And that one goes for some distance. And so there's a point if you're going that way where you'll turn off, and I think it goes, either you can go all the way to the other side and through, you hit Madhyam Gram and then you go out our regular road,
yeah,
or you can hit in between and go the Kalyani highway.
Yeah.
So it's before you go to Bharatpur, but somewhere if you go up there, if you turn off to the Gangas, that's where Panihati is, somewhere down there. So it's kind of in that area.
Shodhpur is the railway station.
Shodhpur is the railway station. Okay. Just in case. You happen to be on the train, you see Shodhpur, just get off, it's right there.
And that's the only for 3 or 4 small stations.
Okay.
From where?
Dandam.
Dandam.
Oh, Dandam.
It's very near.
Okay.
Uber goes.
Uber goes from Dandam?
Yeah, from Calcutta you can go in a Uber up to there.
Up to there, okay. Up to Dandam or up to
Panihati? Panihati and come back.
Oh. Take your own Chiradoi. For you, sir, I've already offered food to the deity. But you are engaged in a festival here, and so the food is lying there untouched. Lord Nityananda replied, "Let me eat all this food here during the day, and I shall eat at your home at night. I belong to a community of cowherd boys, and therefore I generally have many cowherd associates with me. I am happy when we eat together in a picnic like this by the sandy bank of the river." Lord Nityananda made Raghava Pandit sit down and had 2 pots delivered to him also. There were 2 kinds of chipped rice soaked in them. When chipped rice had been served to everyone, Lord Nityananda Prabhu, in meditation, brought Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arrived, Lord Nityananda Prabhu stood up. When they saw how the others were enjoying the chipped rice with yogurt and condensed milk, from each and every pot, Lord Nityananda Prabhu took 1 morsel of chipped rice and pushed it in the mouth of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as a joke. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, also smiling, took a morsel of food and pushed it in the mouth of Nityananda and laughed as he made Lord Nityananda eat it. In this way, Lord Nityananda was walking through all the groups of eaters, and all the Vaishnavas standing there were seeing the fun. No one could understand what Nityananda Prabhu was doing as he walked about. Some, however, who were very fortunate, could see that Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was also present. Then Nityananda Prabhu smiled and sat down. On his right side, he kept 4 pots of chipped rice that had not been made from a boiled paddy. Oh, okay, so Atam Chira. Okay, that means it's finer. The finer Chira. Because what's made from the Siddhachal, generally the heavier one, if you soak it, it'll get soft. But it has a different kind of bite to it. You know, so it kind of... The other one, the unboiled, when you do it, the chips are very close together, mm-hmm. like that. And then you put the yogurt and it'll kind of break up. But the Siddhachal one, they tend to... The things themselves are so... They're quite strong.
More solid.
Yeah, and so when they soak, they kind of break up a little bit. You kind of get a little bit more liquid to them. So they kind of have a slightly different effect. So here he's got 4 that are with Atam.
There's some Maharaj which have like a paper we get in South India, almost like
ready. Yeah, those are 4. Means you could do this prep, but it means you can soak and all that, but it'll completely mush up.
Yeah.
That cheer is meant for deep frying.
Okay.
That's what it's for. So that's probably all you use it for there, because it's not something you regularly eat. So here it's a little bit thicker than that.
Yes.
So you have that super thin one, like paper, that's for deep frying. Then you have the nice thin one, that's for doing stuff like this. And then you have the heavier one. You know, it's just like you have rolled oats. You know? So
yes.
the siddha is kind of more like that.
What season of the year is past time?
I'm not sure. Does it mention the time of the year?
We do the Panihati Chiradai festival.
Oh, that's just before. It's just before.
Before monsoon.
Yeah. It would be just at the time when, right after that, very soon the rains will come.
So before mango season.
Yeah.
Well, it's just you have to get what's there, but no, mango's in season, because when we do these 2.
Yeah, you have mangoes already.
And we do a mango one, and
yeah.
I think we do a jackfruit one, and then we do 2 salty ones.
That's right.
Because see, if you're eating sweet, there's only so much you can eat before it's like too much sweet. So if you have a salty one, you eat a little of that, it clears the palate and you're ready to go again. So you can eat double, triple the amount of sweet by having the salt in it. That fills you up.
And it's like pour.
No, it would be the same stuff, just that after being soaked in soaked like that, then it'll be put with some salt and roasted jeera.
Right.
And the other one we've done with roasted kalo jeera. That one's really far off. They're very far off flavors. But you get like this much of each of them.
Oh, I see.
Like that. And then you take that. But sometimes they get too full. They eat a bunch of the whichever one you like better or that. And then you go back to eating this. Yeah. Mango ones, chaco ones, they're all far out. But the two main ones are there. And then you have these others.
Now it's turning to painting the clay pots.
Oh, no. They
going mentioned for auctions.
Yeah, no, Takedaka. Because this is what he would do in, I think, New Panihati.
In New Orleans.
Yeah, somewhere down there. New it's New Orleans. Oh, I always thought it was
in. Takedaka really initiated the festival.
Yes, and make it big.
At New Panihati.
Yeah, and devotees would come from all over to come there because it's big and they make like 100 different kinds. They do everything. So they probably even have, one with oregano.
Every year
it's
bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah. Somehow it's very popular.
Yeah. Because you can engage a lot of people, right? Yeah. Some people make pots, and then you can make so many ladies, and he'll tell what he wants, and they'll do, and they'll bring it to him to show it, and then he'll see it looks, because it has to look good also. Like we came the first year because we were the ones that do it. Yeah, right on the thing, bring the pot.
These pots are amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
The decoration.
Well, no, it's, if you look at it, it's a festival in each pot.
Yes.
Like ours is meant for, the other ones are meant for, arty. Yeah, all kinds of far. Pomegranates, it's like you cut a kiwi and then you cut something else, you put that into stars, and then on that you put a pomegranate. And it says, ooh, it's like, there's some of the people, they spend so much time like that. I think first festival were kind of involved. No one was there, but once the ladies figured out what was going on, then they took over. And then I think this last year we didn't go because we have nothing to do. Because it's like whatever we do, we made sure it died. Yeah. You have to do something to make it attractive.
Yeah. Now it's an online chair building.
Really?
Yeah, because of the COVID last year, nobody was allowed. There was. Everybody cooked, but.
Oh, as long as they cook. But I'm saying, online Chira Toys Festival, that's like a cookbook. You just look at the pictures, they get hungry, but you can't do anything with it. It's like, what are you doing?
It's like online PE.
PE.
Physical exercise.
Oh yeah, no, that's good. Yeah, you see that. Yeah, feel the burn. Yeah.
Push-ups.
Yeah, move your head to the music. Aerobics. Right.
Two fingers.
Yeah. Tough. Okay. Then Lord Nityananda Prabhu smiled and sat down. On his right side he kept four pots of chipped rice that had not been made from boiled paddy. Lord Nityananda offered Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu a place and had him sit down. Then together the two brothers began eating chipped rice. Seeing Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu eating with him, Lord Nityananda Prabhu became very happy and exhibited varieties of ecstatic love. Lord Nityananda Prabhu ordered, "All of you eat," chanting the holy name of Hari. Immediately the holy names Hari, Hari resounded, filling the entire universe. Like that when it says it's loud, but also just the sound goes up because it's the holy name. It's not like the material that it has a limit. So the holy name goes like that. When all the Vaishnavas were chanting the holy names Hari, Hari and eating, they remembered how Krishna and Balaram ate with their companions, the cowherd boys on the bank of the Jamuna. Didn't Tamal Krishna Maharaj have a painting of this?
Yeah.
big, long painting?
Where, here in Mayapur?
Yeah, yeah. He's over the, when he came into the room, there was that cabinet, you know, where the puja was, and then he had a big, long painting.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, because he was very specific about it, how it had to be, what had to be there. They did something, and he had it expanded and did all kinds of stuff to it. Because they, you know, they do it with a couple of guys here and there like that. He made it like a pact. I wonder what happened to that.
That's an Irish one.
No. He wasn't the controller.
Oh, BS.
No. Red.
Yeah, Red. Brian Sanderson.
Oh, okay.
BS.
Okay, yeah, the boss. Yeah. Yeah, no, because she controlled what went where and
yeah, was she assumed.
Yeah, she organized. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda Prabhu are extremely merciful and liberal. It was Raghunath Das's good fortune that they accepted all these dealings. Who can understand the influence and mercy of Lord Nityananda Prabhu? He is so powerful that he induced Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to come to eat chipped rice on the bank of the Ganges. All the confidential devotees who were cowherd boys headed by Sri Ramadasa were absorbed in ecstatic love. They thought the bank of the Ganges to be the bank of the Jamuna. Then the shopkeepers and many other villagers heard about the festival. They arrived there to sell chipped rice, yogurt, sweetmeats, and bananas. As they came, bringing all kinds of food, Raghunath Das purchased it all. He gave them the price for the goods and later fed them the very same food. Anyone who came to see how these funny things were going on was also fed chipped rice, yogurt, and bananas. After Lord Nityananda Prabhu finished eating, he washed his hands and mouth and gave Raghunath Das the food remaining in the four pots. There was food remaining in the three other big pots. There was food remaining in the three other big pots of Lord Nityananda, and a Brahmin distributed to all the devotees, giving a morsel to each. Then a Brahmin brought a flower garland, placed the garland on Nityananda Prabhu's neck, and smeared sandalwood pulp all over his body. Then a servant brought betel nuts and offered them to Lord Nityananda. The Lord smiled and chewed them. With his own hands, Lord Nityananda Prabhu distributed to all the devotees whatever flower garland, sandalwood pulp, and betel nuts remained. After receiving the remnants of food left by Lord Nityananda Prabhu, Raghunath Das, who was greatly happy, ate some and distributed the rest among his own associates. Thus I have described the pastimes of Lord Nityananda Prabhu in relation to the celebrated festival of chipped rice and yogurt. Verses 101 to 125. Raghav Pandit's Feast. 36-101-116. Nityananda Prabhu rested for the day, and when the day ended, he went to the temple of Raghava Pandit and began congregational chanting of the holy name of the Lord. Lord Nityananda Prabhu first influenced all the devotees to dance, and finally he himself began dancing, thus inundating the entire world in ecstatic love. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was observing the dancing of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Nityananda Prabhu could see this, but others could not. The dancing of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, like the dancing of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, cannot be compared to anything within these three worlds. No one can properly describe the sweetness of Lord Nityananda's dancing. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally comes to see it. After the dancing and after Lord Nityananda had rested, Raghava Pandit submitted his request that the Lord take supper. Lord Nityananda Prabhu sat down for supper, and his personal associates with his personal associates and made a sitting place on his right side for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came there and sat down at his place. Seeing this, Raghava Pandit felt increasing happiness. Raghava Pandit brought the prasadam before the two brothers and thereafter distributed prasadam to all the other Vaishnavas. There were varieties of cakes, sweet rice, and fine cooked rice that surpassed the taste of nectar. There were also varieties of vegetables. The food prepared and offered to the deity by Raghava Pandit was like the essence of nectar. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came there again and again to eat such prasadam. When Raghava Pandit offered the food to the deity after cooking, he would make a separate offering for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Every day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would eat at the house of Raghava Pandit. Sometimes he would give Raghava Pandit the opportunity to see him. Raghava Pandit would bring and distribute prasad to the two brothers, feeding them with great attention. They ate everything, and therefore there were no remnants left. He brought so many presentations that no one could know them perfectly. Indeed, it was a fact that the Supreme Mother, Radharani, personally cooked in the house of Raghava Pandit. Srimati Radharani received from Durvasa the benediction that whatever she cooked would be sweeter than nectar. That is the special feature of her cooking. Briti. One day, Durvasa Muni was traveling through Vrindavan and came upon Srimati Radharani, who was the only one who didn't run away upon seeing the sage approach. Durvasa Muni requested the young girl to prepare some sweet rice, and Srimati Radharani, as always, carefully selected the best ingredients and made the most aromatic and delicious sweet rice that the sage had ever experienced. Upon being pleased by Srimati Radharani's service, Durvasa Muni gave her the benediction that everything she would cook would taste like nectar and would give anyone who tasted it increasing long life, strength, beauty, and fame. Of course, all this was already true of Srimati Radharani's cooking, but since she received this benediction from a known sage, this provided an opportunity for Mother Jashoda to have Srimati Radharani come and cook for Sri Krishna daily. One can read about the details of Srimati Radharani's cooking for Sri Krishna in Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj's Govinda Lila, Chapter 3. Okay. 3.6, 117, 125. Aromatic and pleasing to see, the food was the essence of all sweetness. Thus the two brothers, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda Prabhu, ate it with great satisfaction. All the devotees present requested Raghunath Das to sit down and take prasadam. But Raghava Pandit told them, he will take prasadam later. All the devotees took prasadam, filling themselves to the brim. Thereafter, chanting the holy name of Hari, they stood up and washed their hands and mouths. After eating, the two brothers washed their hands and mouths. Then Raghava Pandit brought flower garlands and sandalwood pulp and decorated them. Raghava Pandit offered them betel nuts and worshipped their lotus feet. He also distributed betel nuts, flower garlands, and sandalwood pulp to their devotees. Raghunath Das, being very merciful towards Raghunath Das, offered him the dishes with the remnants of food left by the two brothers. He said, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has eaten this food. If you take its remnants, you will be released from the bondage of your family. The Supreme Personality of Godhead always resides either in the heart or in the home of a devotee. This fact is sometimes hidden and sometimes manifest, for the Supreme Personality of Godhead is fully independent. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is all-pervasive, and therefore he resides everywhere. Anyone who doubts this will be annihilated.
It's pretty amazing when you think of, you know, it's such a simple living, but there's so much management and organization behind all this. You know, you always hear when there's greeting of Vaishnavas, the flower garland, the sandalwood pulp. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a sandalwood. I mean, they would be carrying bowls.
Yeah, no, it's...
You know, when the devotees arrive in Puri from Bengal, they all greeted with sandalwood pulp, and it was like...
Yeah, you see here is that there's people always making, because they notice that something's happening, so they just start. And, well, one, you have many people, and people like to do service. Like that, and like Raghunath Das had people, 20 people serving. That's the one serving. Then you had the people in the kitchen who are making, who are doing, and he's there organizing. Yeah, so it's that's the whole thing, is that the whole organizational aspects can all be taken care of within the festivals, the culture, the interaction of the Vaishnavas. You don't have to sit in meetings and with, you know, computers and all that kind of stuff to feel that you're getting something done. You hear it's something real, the service of the Vaishnavas. The other one, you know, you talk, you do some nice work, and it has its necessity, but it's taken that's the real management. But no, he's running a festival and all that, doing that, that's something. You can pull that off, you know. So that's why you see those who can do, you know, it's just like Indradhunmars, you know, he'll have that and all the devotees and all that, and you know, you'll see all those different things that'll be happening. That'll attract people from literally all over the world. They'll all go for that festival, you know, like that. Or you see Radhanath Maharaj, and he'll arrange, you know, says, you know, 5,000 means I think they've limited it now to 6,000 or something in a festival. So you have to book ahead of time, because more will come, 10,000-12,000 will come, but it's just, you know, I mean, you've already had one full train, you've already booked the whole train yourself, and booked every place to stay on the, you know, that in the whole place, you know. So they found just with time that works. And they do that like clockwork, everything, all the vehicles, 50 buses, it's all that.
They had National Geography do a documentary just on the cooking.
Yeah.
Well, the festival.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the Chopati Devotee Guild.
In Chopati? Yeah.
I don't know, it was in Vrindavan.
Oh, okay.
And they have the devotees from Chopati who are engineers, you know, build a railway to pull the pots.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I saw that somewhere.
So, NGO, they just came and filmed the whole thing.
Wow, that's far.
I mean, they were just amazing.
Hmm?
I saw the ratings going.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah, that's the thing. And that's the thing is that you have individuals that they themselves, you know, manage, you know, huge things. But they'll be there personally serving, personally doing. That's the thing that's here. That's what he says. Raghupan with full attention. He's doing. So that's the thing is that in these festivals, it becomes more of the senior persons involved. But if you use the professional or corporate thing, is they just sit in a room and discuss, and then you have the newest people do these. And so it's these things like, let's say, you know, with the leading devotees, that what before was prashad was a festival, now it's just, you know, just some...
ceremony.
It's just some buffet that, you know, and it goes in that plastic tables, you sit down and, you know, some bhaktas serve you something and, you know, it's no big deal.
I mean, the festival in Russia, we have about 10,000 devotees turning up. You know, it's all Narendra Swami organizing. He's just on stage with a lot of money. You know, the guy's like chopping vegetables, building on the tent, and he's just relaxed.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, because that's the thing. He can do all that, so he knows what's the important thing to be doing. So
these
leading things, that means the hearing, chanting, Bhagavatam, serving Vaishnavas, worshipping the deity, the Dham, these are what the senior people do.
Yeah.
These other things others can do. Like Prabhupada said, going out talking to Karmi, is that the new people should do?
Yes.
The senior people should preach to the devotees. Like that. So, yes.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada.